What's happening, Reds? Jamie Webster here. Just wanted to say, subscribe below. Thank you very much.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Liverpool Connection podcast. This is our story episode with just me, Dazza, today, all the way from Ireland. I'm really excited to have a chat with our next guest, just because some of his musical influences are just like mine. I would say like New Order. They're a big one. Still love them to this day. But from Irish indie pop band. Give it a twist, I would say.
Happy with that.
Indie, or you can go pop. But it is the drummer from upcoming Irish band, Modern Love. It is Cian McCluskey. Welcome, mate.
Cheers. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to do this. It's a good experience.
Oh man, it's a good laugh. I could actually like talk for two, three hours, but you know, that's a lot of editing sometimes.
Yeah, it's not worth the hassle it takes after it's done. Yeah.
Well, and especially like it's so funny. I get messages going, "Ah, your podcasts are too long." I always tell them like, you do realize there's a pause button, right? You can pause it and you can come back. Yeah. To the rest of the episode, it's like mind blown.
Oh yeah, I don't have to listen to it all in one go. That's crazy. It's weird. Yeah.
Ian, obviously a Liverpool fan, or you would not be on this.
This
podcast. And I know in Ireland there's a lot of, it's either like usually Liverpool, Man United. And I saw your little story about growing up and one of your mates was a Chelsea supporter, tried to get you to the dark side, but your dad knew better, right?
Yeah. So what happened was, this was around the time when Chelsea, they were in the first Mourinho era. So it was that they were just like unplayable, like the best team ever. And we were like kind of terrible. I think we had like Morientes up top and he wasn't really doing it. And I think Milan Baroš was still knocking around there somewhere. And I was like, God, I'm not enjoying this. And then he was kind of older than me as well. So I kind of looked up to him. He was like a cool older brother type. And he was like, oh, why are you doing supporting Liverpool? You should be supporting Chelsea. And he gave me one of his old jerseys with Drogba on the back. And I came into the house and I was about 6 or 7. And I came in and I was like, oh yeah, I think I want to support Chelsea now. And my dad just took the jersey off, threw it away, and was like, you can either support Chelsea and not live in this house, or you can support Liverpool and come home. That was it. There was no talking about it. There was no discussion. It was like, you are absolutely not allowed to support Chelsea. You have to support Liverpool, or you can't watch football.
Isn't that great at like 6 years old? Yeah. Get out. If you want to put this Chelsea shirt on, get out.
Yeah, that was literally, and I'm so glad he did, because I hate Chelsea more than other teams now. But at the time, I don't know. I don't know what it was. I just wanted to support Chelsea and it wasn't happening. I was made to be a Liverpool fan and I'm glad of it now.
Yeah, and I'm sure your dad is as well.
Oh, delighted. Yeah, delighted.
So first, you were telling me you've been to Anfield and just once, right?
Yeah, just the once. I was supposed to go when I was a bit younger and it never came through. I've only been the one time, yeah.
And that 2017, it's always like you always remember what day it was and who you played, like always on your first time.
Yeah, it was Liverpool Palace at 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday, I think. And it was in the middle of that Coutinho nonsense that was going on, where he was pretending he was injured, but he wasn't really injured. He just wanted to go. And I really wanted to see him because he was like the best player at the time. And he didn't end up showing up at all. So I was a bit gutted about that. But we won 1-0. It was a terrible game, but we won. And I got a couple of really rank Carlsbergs in Anfield. that was my lasting memory of it. It was like, this is the worst tasting beer I've ever had.
So yeah, that's when Coutinho did fake the back injury, wasn't it?
And then that was the one, yeah.
And then actually went off to the Brazil squad.
That was it, yeah. And we were all like, do you know what? He can go if he wants. Yeah. We don't need him.
It's so bizarre to like see how he was for us, because he was an amazing player. He really was.
He was unstoppable, yeah.
And, you know, if it wasn't for him, though, we wouldn't have got Virg and we wouldn't have got Alisson.
Yeah.
But then he went to Barcelona and did absolutely nothing. And now he's basically a substitute for Aston Villa. Well, no, he went to Munich, didn't he?
Munich and got that Champions League medal that he was looking for. But I doubt it was the way he wanted to. Like, he could have stayed with us. And I think we still would have been in the ascendancy anyway, if he had stayed. I think we probably still would have signed a good goalkeeper. And we might have got Virg as well. But it's sad, but I don't feel too bad for him because of the way he left. If he had left at the end of the season, I would have been like, yeah, fair play. You can go. You finished out your year. But to do it in the middle of the season like that, I thought it didn't sit right with anyone, I don't think.
Yeah, well, he's got his comeuppance, hasn't he? So I could care less. I just don't understand some Liverpool fans, like when he was available again, they were like, yeah, let's bring him back. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I don't want them here. No way.
He's like a little rat.
He doesn't deserve to come back. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm so happy, you know, he's not. So Coutinho was your favourite player?
He wasn't my favourite player. He was just very clearly the best player at that time, I think. Like, we had, like, Sadio Mane was probably my favourite at that time, because we didn't have Salah yet, I don't think. Did we?
No.
No. Yeah, so it was probably Sadio Mane was my favourite, and Firmino as well. No, actually, Bobby's my favourite. Bobby has always been my favourite since he came. I love him.
There's something about him, isn't there?
It's just his smile. It's infectious, man. He seems like such a nice guy. He loves God. He loves white skinny jeans. And he loves scoring deadly goals. I love him.
And he plays the piano, I think.
Yeah. And he's got the worst neck tattoos you've ever seen, but they suit him. They suit him really well. And he wears them well.
And he gets away with some fashion faux pas. I mean, I know I couldn't wear the stuff he wears.
I mean, I'm wearing like my girlfriend's brown sunflower cardigan right now. So I don't know if I have any legs to stand on criticizing his fashion, but some of it is a bit questionable. Yeah. But I love him.
You've got to. I you know, there is talk like about his contract as well. I would love to see Bobby probably stay for another year, but I think because this is going to be his last big hoorah, I have a feeling he's going to try and get 2-3 years. And I don't think Liverpool will give it to him.
It's a tough one because, like, I do love him so much, but then to be a top team, you do have to know when to let players go and to let them, because, like, you know, Ferguson was the master at it for years. Just, you'd think, like, what's he doing getting rid of him? And then it turns out, like, that was why. Yeah. So I think it might be time after this season to kind of let him go if he wants to go.
Well, I think that's out of many issues at the moment is keeping players that should have been let go, like Ox and Keita, should not be in this squad.
I know, yeah. I actually forgot he was, Oxlade-Chamberlain was a Liverpool player. And then we were playing Leicester. Or was it the game before where he started in the three up top? Yeah. And I was like, he still plays for us. What? Why? Why is he here? I couldn't figure it out.
Well, the biggest one I think is he was about to be sold in the summer and then he got injured in pre-season.
Yeah.
So he couldn't be sold. And then, you know, I mean, some of these lads making 100, 150, you know, sitting in the, you know, patient room, just collecting a paycheck makes me sick. But I mean, because I've always cater to me, if he got a good run of games, he's a good player, but, you know, he's made of glass.
I had said that about Keita for the last 4 years. Like, if he just got a good run of games, but I wash my hands with him. He is a good player. He's very, you know, attack-minded, and he goes at players. But yeah, he's too injury prone. Like I can't be saying that about him anymore. I want him away from the club because there's no point in keeping him. He can't stay fit.
Well, I'm looking at our squad right now. You know, you've got Milner out of contract, Ox, Keita, Bobby. I mean, that's four already. You know.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on like this whole FSG saga? Because if we don't go in for a midfielder in January, that means we're going to have to get at least 3 to 4 in the summer, and I don't see that happening.
Yeah, the thing with FSG is like, you know, no one was complaining for the 4 or 5 years that it's ran very smoothly. And I think, you know, it's such a cyclical game. Like, I didn't think we were going to be able to sustain 5, 6 seasons of getting 90 plus points, you know? So I think this season, we do need a midfielder in January, definitely. But I think we need more than one midfielder. Like, Henderson is kind of on his way out, even though he's still a very good player. He's a little bit too old to be leading the line like that. And Thiago probably has another year left in him. And even at that might be a stretch. So I would say if FSG get one midfielder now and 2 in the summer, I'll be all right with it. But it just depends, because there's so many weird problems with the team that you can't quite put your finger on right now. I don't think you can really blame anyone solely, you know?
Well, I mean, can you imagine, right, gearing up for your biggest gig of your life, right? And then all of a sudden, it's pulled under the rug. Just like our lads, they played 64 matches. They came 1 point away from winning the league and 1 goal away from, you know, Madrid.
Yeah.
That's got to get you, not just physically with 64 games, but mentally as well, to actually... Yeah. Make yourself get back up and go, all right, you know, let's do this again. And then that first charity shield match against City, I was like, oh, it's on this season. It is.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there was like 4 or 5 injuries, and they're all muscle injuries. So you start going, all right, did they make a mistake by doing this pre-season tour? I know City only played two pre-season games, and I don't even think they left England while we did. You know, we travelled to the Far East, and I think that was, I mean, again, it's money related.
Yeah.
The team had to go to, you know, tick off the sponsor boxes. And I think
fulfill that, some contracts or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so then, you know, there was a problem right there. We were in for Tchouaméni, you know, the money was there. We got Nunes, but the money was there to get him. He chose Madrid, but we didn't have a backup. The Bellingham talk, you know, it just seems to me like it's Bellingham or bust.
Yeah, which is a really bad game plan to have, because like Bellingham's one of the most sought after players in the world. Like even if he comes and says, I want to play for Liverpool, you still need to have 2 or 3 backups, because you never know what's going to happen. And it just seems now like there's no plan to solve what's going on in the middle. And like, I even think, like, I like Nunez, but he wasn't the player that we needed. Like, we had Diaz, we had Jota, we had Salah, we have Gakpo as well, which again, it was another one where I was like, that's grand, but like, where is the midfield? Like, what are we going to do about the midfield? So it's a weird one. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad we went in for Gakpo, because because we got two forwards that can actually, you know, play football at the moment. what annoys me, I think, is not knowing really what's going on. Like Jota, they say February, but you don't really see much of him. Klopp doesn't really say much. And then with Diaz, same thing, March. If he's back in March, that still means he's not match fit. So I believe that's why Gakpo came in. Plus, I think we're going to get him in the summer anyway. And then, you know, other teams were sniffing around just like they did with Diaz last January. So I think that's why they got him. But yeah, it's just frustrating because I think we've all been too comfortable in the last 4 or 5 years with you know, winning and coming really close that we've forgotten really how to lose.
Well, see, that's the thing that I've been saying, because I grew up watching Liverpool be abysmal. Like, we were shocking for like 10 years, for my whole childhood. It was like, Liverpool win the league, that'll never happen. I couldn't even fathom that ever happening. Like, we had, what was the season when we had like Jay Spearing in the middle and like Kyriakos at the back and like, it's like Andy Carroll up front, and then we have Ricky Lambert was knocking around there at one stage. Like, I have always been, from the start of us doing really well, like, there will come a point now when we're going to be rubbish again for a while. Like, it's a part of the game. So I'm not actually taking this as hard as some other of my mates that are Liverpool fans who just can't believe what's going on. So I think I've been like, because I'm kind of nihilistic about it. I'm like, ah, sure, we'll be good now and we'll be shite in a couple of years and we'll be good again. And it's a get, like, you know, so I think I'm able to like hopefully ride this wave out and wait a season or two and maybe it'll come good again. Maybe it won't, but it's all part of the game, you know.
It's do or die with a lot of Liverpool fans at the moment. You know, they're like, they just figure, you know, is this a transitional period? Maybe. Is it just a bad season? Probably. Will we be back? Of course, a Liverpool football. But people just, you know, they see the cities and now Newcastle as well, and they just think, that's it. If we don't pump 200 mil into January, into midfielders, we're not going to make top four. I still think we're going to make top four. I do. I think some of the teams above us, like United and Spurs, they won't, you know, keep on winning. They're going to lose. What it's going to take is, I think, just hopefully ride the storm up until, you know, February, March. Hopefully we're in touching distance of the top four. Get Jota, get Diaz back, and then see where we're at come May, you know. But I'm not going to jump off a bridge already, like a lot of the Twitter folk, you know. They're in meltdown. You know, one day it's Klopp's fault, next day FSG, next day it's Alisson's fault, you know, that the club isn't doing well. And anybody that says Alisson needs to go needs a good old slap.
Have people been saying that about Alisson?
Oh, I've just seen some madness. I think just people have a dartboard with players' faces on it, and they just throw the dartboard, and then they go, all right, today he needs to leave this football club. I mean, that man has given everything. We wouldn't be where we are if it wasn't for him. I mean,
The Napoli save West Brom, like what kicked off everything.
Yeah, West Brom header. We wouldn't have been in the Champions League. But I mean, this season saved us so many times as well. Yeah. So yeah, it was ridiculous what he did the other day against Wolves, and it should never happen again. But he's human. That, I think people forget these players are human. Yes, they make insane amounts of money, but they are human. They can switch off. That's just the way it is. You know, I'm sure yourself, as your bandmates know, you can have a bad gig.
I've had many bad gigs. I've had more bad gigs than good gigs. I'm only starting to have good gigs now. The band's doing well. We've had, like, you know, it's. But I think as well with Liverpool, what I've noticed, it's a lot of people coming out of the woodwork suddenly in the last couple of years, being like, oh yeah, I love Liverpool. I love them. So I think we picked up a lot of kind of fair weather fans who maybe saw us get to the Champions League final in 2018. We were the underdogs then. And we went back and won it. And the next year we won the league. And we were like, you know, top three team in the world. You get a lot of people going suddenly, oh yeah, I'm a Liverpool fan. And then they're all in. And then we start doing a bit of shit. And it's like, like Alisson's the problem. Klopp's it's like, you don't know anything about football if you think that Alisson is the problem. Yeah, for Liverpool. You know, it's just, I've noticed that a lot. Even with Arsenal, like, my mate's an Arsenal fan. And there's loads of lads coming out suddenly being like, I love Arsenal. Yeah, I've always supported Arsenal. It's like, did you really, like, can you name three of their players that from the last 5 years? Like, you probably can't, you know?
Yeah, that's the fun part, you know. They'll have a different team shirt on, like, underneath. So if that's Liverpool aren't doing really well 1 week, take that Liverpool shirt off and I've got, you know, a Newcastle or Arsenal one. Yeah, I've got an Arsenal mate, I'm happy for him at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't been, they actually remind me of Liverpool 2-3 years ago, because they've got a couple of senior players in there, like Xhaka. But they've got these young, hungry players. You know, I love Saka. I think he's a fantastic player. And Martinelli as well. God bless. I'd love to have Martinelli on our team.
I know, yeah.
But they just look like what we were. Like, there's engines in the midfield. That's what we're missing. I mean, I've told people over and over again, you know, you can only defend really what's in front of you. Matip and Van Dijk, especially Van Dijk, have not been at their best. But you're supposed to defend from the front. And I'm not seeing, when we had Diaz fit, he would, and same as Jota. But we're not defending from the front. And then we've got too much of a high line. So other teams have figured us out. They're just doing a ball over the top, you know, and getting Speedy Gonzalez to run onto the ball and score. That's our biggest problem. So I think, you know, and people say Klopp can only play one way, which is this Genga pressing. Well, we can't Genga for nothing at the moment.
Yeah, we're not really doing that. So I don't know about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing as well with that, what you were saying, like the midfield, like of Fabinho and Henderson, were so crucial to how good our defence was. But their legs seem to be kind of getting on a bit. They can't, and there's so much space in the middle, like in the lines between, there's so much space all the time. So like, I've heard people say, like, oh, Van Dijk's finished. Like, Van Dijk's done. And it's like, what are you talking about, man? Like, it drives me insane. Because it's like, it's clearly that the whole team is not playing as a unit. And whatever it is, if it's morale, if it's injuries, if it's a combination of loads of different things, like, to say that Van Dijk is like finished being an elite defender is just like, it's bizarre.
Well, and then the other side of it is, you know, he's not the same player after the Jordan Pickford horror tackle, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Maybe he's not, but if that's only 10% of who he really is, you know, he's still 90% one of the world's best centre backs. I just think it's a whole team thing. I just think it's lack of confidence at the moment. Things just aren't going our way. Klopp's a world class manager. He'll figure it out. I have no problem with that. I just want to get past January. We could play Brighton and Wolves twice in January, which is madness. You know. But I just think the next game, Brighton scares me to death.
It's not the team I want to play next. No. I really don't. Yeah.
No, they're playing really well, and Trossard just seems to have our number every time he plays us.
I was going to say it was Mope, but it's Trossard, isn't it? He can just get past, he has something figured out in his brain. But again, it's the same thing. Like, you're watching Liverpool against Leicester. Leicester were trying to play it around at the back, and I was like, this is really stupid. You're trying to pass through us. You can literally just hoof the ball over the top and you'll probably get in. I think Brighton know that straight away. They just go straight for the over the top ball and it just gets us every time.
Yeah, it's scary, but like I said, I think we'll get back to where we belong, but, you know, get some of these players back and hopefully another midfielder in January. Want to get onto the band. So are you all like early mates, or did you meet up as a band, you know, like a, like they do, they put it in the newspaper, I need a drummer, I need a guitarist?
The three, me, Barry, who's the singer, and Graham, the guitar player, have known each other since school. So I met Barry when I was like 3 years old. Like, we went to primary school together. I've known him for like 20 years now at this stage. And then I met Graham when I was like 11 or 12 in school. And we were kind of just mates who all liked music and just went, do you want to just jam out? Like me and Graham used to jam out in one of our mates' sheds. And I just dragged Barry by the collar and was like, we need a singer, learn how to play the guitar, because I don't know anyone else. So just do it, you know? And so Barry went away, learned how to sing and learned how to play the guitar. And then we were kind of just like, you know, making noise for a while. And then we met Danny, and that's when we kind of became a band then at that stage. So we were all mates who happened to be into the same kind of music and just decided we should start a band. As opposed to being like, let's do this way, and this way, you know?
Well, did you have the thought process of, you know, we'll just do it for fun, or you were like, you know, once you start kind of practicing more, going, you know what, we're all right?
See, we were really, really bad for really long. So I think it was always for fun. Like, for years, it was just like a bit of crack. And then we did nothing to try and get signed or to do anything until we were like 18 or 19. Like, we were literally just in people's rooms, in pubs, playing to like four people, getting drunk. You know, it was not, wasn't a serious thing, but it was all we ever did, you know? Cause it was, again, it was like a way of hanging out with mates. Our way of hanging out with mates was getting a few beers, going to the practice room and playing music. So I think we kept that for a long time. And then once we started writing good songs, that's when we were like, oh, this is good enough to be played on the radio. People should hear this. And that's when it kind of started getting a bit real.
Was that 2016 is when did you form the band like properly?
Well, yeah, the lineup that it is today, we formed in 2016. There was a kind of previous version of it with the three of us. That was 2015 or 2014. And then Danny coming in was 2016. And that's when the band like started.
How's your writing process? Because, you know, in a lot of bands, it's usually, you know, a lead singer and the guitarist. Do you all write the songs?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a four, like, we split all the songwriting royalties 25, 25 each. Like, we're all, like, I don't think the band could exist without all four of us doing. Like, I write lyrics to songs sometimes. Barry will write drum parts. Danny could write the guitar. Like, it doesn't. It's just whoever. We only have our roles as drummer, singer, guitarist, bass player on stage. But when we're writing, anyone could come up with any part of the song. Yeah.
I think that's the really cool way to go about it, you know, because one of my favorite bands is Depeche Mode. I just love them. And, you know, most of there is Martin Gore, obviously, and Dave Gahan. So with all four of you, yeah, gotta be. But how do you sit down though? And like, just, you know, with somebody comes up with a melody first.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, because we've known each other for so long, there's no ego within the band. Do you know what I mean? Like, so Barry, he's not the stereotypical singer. Is like, it's doing this my way. I'm the singer. I'm doing this. We're like, Barry isn't the singer of the band when it's the four of us writing a song. He's just another person who's there. So if someone writes a melody and someone else goes, that's really cool, give it to me, put it on my laptop, I'll do this to it. Someone else hears it and goes, oh, that's really cool, let me add this, let me add that. And it just builds and builds and then it's done. And that's the way. We never have arguments about like how a song should sound. If someone is really adamant that it should sound a certain way, the other three go, well, he seems to know what he wants, so we'll just let him do it. It's very democratic and healthy.
No throwing beer bottles at the bandmates, eh?
No, not in the songwriting room. Anyway, when we're out on a night out and someone does something stupid, that's a different story. But in the songwriting department, we're good. We're very good.
On your debut, obviously, you know, to hear your own song that you've put in, you know, your heart and soul in, to hear it on the radio, I mean, that's got to feel amazing for all of you.
Yeah, I remember the first song we got played, the first song that got on the radio in Ireland was a song called Bop that we released. It was like our first like professional release with like management and with a PR company. And it was like, we went into an actual studio to record it and stuff. And I remember hearing that on the radio and being like, that's me. It's my song. And someone else is playing it to me. That's mental. It was every time you hear your song on the radio, like we got played on BBC there a couple of times. You're just sitting there going like, that's me. And I'm not even in that country and they're playing it. It's like, it's bizarre. It never gets easier, or like you can't wrap your head around it anymore the more it happens, you know?
And, you know, obviously with bands, the gigs are just, brings you closer to fans. And, you know, you've got the US tour coming up. As you said before, you've not set foot in the States before.
Yeah. So,
you know, the US is a vast, you know, vast place. Like, it's not like Ireland or back home, Liverpool, you know, takes you like 2-3 hours to go across the country. Are you doing the bus, or are you doing plane?
Yeah, I think because we're doing like East Coast, Middle America, kind of Midwest America, and then we're going right up to Seattle and doing the West Coast. So there'll surely have to be some planes involved. I don't know how we're going to get from like Nashville to Seattle in 2 days. I don't think that's even possible. So yeah,
you hope not by a Greyhound bus.
Oh no, we have a guy coming over. Like, we have our own van that we're renting, and we're hopefully not taking any Greyhound buses. I've heard they're like the pits. They're like the worst of the worst to get.
Yeah, well, usually you always get on the one that the bathroom is broken.
That's yeah.
Or
naturally,
you have a seat next to the bathroom that's broken, which is even worse. Yeah,
that doesn't sound like that. That sounds like how I imagined us touring America would go. But we've surprisingly done over COVID. We kind of built a fan base that we couldn't really see because we couldn't go out and gig. So once we toured the UK there in November and all the shows sold out, we were like, oh, we're like a real band now. I had no idea, you know?
Well, you get that immediate feedback, don't you? I mean,
yeah.
People actually, you know, it's great to hear your song on the radio, but when you actually see people singing it back to you, you're going
singing the words that you wrote in like your bedroom at 3 a.m. and they're singing it back to you. And you're like, oh, you actually like care about this. That's wild. That's crazy.
Yeah. I can't wait for you to come over to the US and, the where I'm based out of Austin, the lads are actually coming to South by Southwest for the whole week. So yeah, you literally will fall in love with Austin. It sounds a bit silly, but they call it the musical capital of the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have since like forever. You know, do I think it is? No. You know, I'm.
You're from Liverpool, so you could never say that Austin is the musical centre.
Exactly.
It's like,
but they have amazing musicians. The food's amazing. Just the quality at South By. You know, the buskers during South By come out and sound better than some of the bands that are actually in, you know, in the venues. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to come to Austin for South By, it's great that you're not just coming to play. You're going to absorb, you know, you can go see bands yourself. You know, I'm sure you'll have a few days off as well.
Yeah. We have like a week there. I think we have like 5-6 days there. So we're going to really take it in as much as we can. We have a couple of mates from other bands that we've played with and bands we know from Ireland that are also going to be there. So it's going to be like a whole big Irish connection in Austin. It's going to be great.
Headline, Modern Love Go Missing.
That's, yeah. That's definitely going to happen at some point. And
so you've got a brand new EP out called Oh My Mind. right? Mm-hmm. Your latest single, which struck me because it's a New Order verse.
Exactly.
Which, was that meant to be?
I was very much that. I literally remember being at a party and A Forest came on by The Cure. And I was like, why have we not made a song that sounds like A Forest yet? So it was very like new wave inspired, not specifically New Order, but like I had songs like Age of Consent and, you know, the guitar riff from, is it Love Vigilantes? Is that the song? First song on Low Life. I think that's the one. Yeah, I had that riff in my mind. And then I kind of paired that with the A Forest by The Cure inspiration. But it's, yeah, very, very new wave idea for sure.
Yeah, I think the kids. So I'm a bit older than you lot, so I think the kids will dig that. I dig it. I mean, if music's good, it's good.
Thanks very much.
It's the same with like you know, I've never been into country. I don't understand it because I don't own a truck or a gun or have a big dog that's like or my wife left me. So
yeah.
Really don't understand those lyrics, but I'm more into like, you know, some of the Willie Nelson stuff. It's just like old, sounds very bluesy, country.
Yeah, very singer songwriter kind of vibes. Yeah.
Yeah, rather than this like pop country stuff that I it's a million miles away from what I ever.
It's probably like inescapable over there as well, in Austin as well. Because it's not that prevalent over here, but you kind of hear some songs from it and you go, whoa, I don't even know who that's for, but it's not for me anyway.
Yeah. That's one good thing about Austin. You know, you can have like, it is a mecca for musicians. I mean, there's loads of recording studios here. You know, it's Austin big on rap, definitely big on blues, soul, rock, you know, pop as well. So, yeah, it's just a melting pot. And, yeah, I'm glad these lads are going to be able to come over here and, you know, get some sun on your face as well in March.
We definitely need it. We're all pasty over here. Yeah, we need some sun. Again, you can see out my window now. It is one of the bleakest days I've seen in the last while. It's lashing rain and it's dark and it's grey and it's horrible.
And it's a
Tuesday, the worst day as well.
So when can we expect an album?
So I think the plan is we're in the process of like releasing singles now to build up to our third EP. And I think we always wanted to kind of make four EPs and then do an album, because we wanted when the album comes out, there'd be enough people to really make it worthwhile. Because you don't want your album to come out that you spent, we've been a band for nearly 7-8 years. Like, you don't want all that work for an album to come out and flop. So we want to do maybe this EP and then one more to really hopefully build a big enough fan base to where when we release the album, it's worth it, you know?
What I like too is like, you're doing vinyl as well, aren't you?
Yeah. It's mainly for us. We asked our label, we were like, can you even just make four vinyls just for us so that we can have them? And they were like, why don't we just make loads? And we were like, well, yeah, if you want, but we want them primarily.
Yeah, it seems like the vinyl went away for a bit. Mm. And, you know, because I love to physically hold vinyl. I like the smell of it, but it's the artwork as well. It's, you know, it's not, it's just when you open a crisp piece of vinyl, you know, you take the plastic off and you just, and you look at every single word on that vinyl. I mean
you feel closer to the artist. There's something weird about it. You feel like you're more invested because you have this big physical thing and you can see all the artwork that the artist wanted you to see. You can read all the lyrics, you can see everything. And I get why people are so into it, for sure.
I mean it costs a little more, but you know, I like the little cracks and hisses on vinyl. I know it sounds weird, but that's what it was supposed to sound like, you know?
Yeah. No, there's so many people like that. It's definitely, it's back in such a big way now. I collect like cassettes just because I think they're cool. I don't know. They don't even sound good, but I just like the look of them. But it's the same reason people collect vinyls. It's like the sound of it, being able to hold it, and then it looks nice in like a, you have loads of them all together as well.
You don't have the Walkman, do you?
I was actually on eBay looking for one recently. It's really embarrassing, but I want one. I want those really old, like mid 90s, like headphones that are kind of rubbish, but I don't know. I just like it.
And don't have any like bass or anything in them.
No low end whatsoever. Yeah.
Just high.
Yeah. Just wrecks your ears, but looks cool. So
my next question is ultimate gig and festival lineup.
Oh, okay. Ultimate gig, like for us to play our own headline gig.
Yes.
I think, I don't know. I never really aimed too high with like what gigs we could play. I mean, like the Three Arena in Dublin would just be, you know, something else. There's like, I think like a big hometown show in like the Three Arena, like the RDS or something. And then like, maybe like Madison Square Garden or something. I don't know. I always feel like whenever I talk about these things, I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to get too like lofty with it, but Madison Square Garden or the Three Arena would be, that'd be all right. It'd be all right with me. And for
your ultimate like festival lineup, like for you to be on with your favorite bands.
They have to still be like active and like alive. Right. Okay. I'm going to put us on the Friday. It's just fuck it. Why not? We're going to be one of them. And then I have Nirvana headlining Saturday. And I'll have, I don't know, Michael Jackson on Sunday. Maybe that's, I know it's like a controversial one, but I'd like to see Michael Jackson again. That would be good.
I think we all will. Yeah. Well, I mean, you do your gig on Friday. That means you can just chill out and watch everybody else. Yeah.
That was the thought behind it. Yeah. Cause I want to be, you know, I want to be able to actually, no, I'm going to take us off that. I'm going to put someone else on that for the Friday. Maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to think really hard. Do you know a band called the Blue Nile? You know the Blue Nile?
Not off the top of my head.
They made two or three of my favorite albums ever, like in the mid-80s, very like shoegazy, poppy stuff. They have one album called Hats. It's brilliant. But they're not a band anymore. But the Blue Nile headlining on Friday, I'll say.
So what are you lot doing then? You're not playing?
No, we'll do like one of the side stages, and then we'll get free in so we can see it all, you know?
Yeah, that's another great thing about Austin. We have an ACL festival, which takes place in October, and it's two running weekends. And they do it really well. On a Friday night, I saw Depeche Mode. Saturday night, I saw The Cure.
Wow. And then
the Sunday, I believe it was Lionel Richie.
The first two made sense together. Yeah. And then Lionel Richie, that's a mad one.
Yeah.
To just throw in there.
But what's crazy is the Saturday that we saw The Cure, it was just pissing down with rain. And I've never seen Robert Smith smile so much in my life. You know, singing these like morbid but yet brilliant songs, and just seeing everybody just drenched.
Yeah, that's it. He seems like the kind of guy who just loved that.
Yeah,
just like the rain would work perfectly with The Cure's kind of vibe, I think.
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite like 3 days of like music. I mean, in between there was some absolute shite.
As per usual with any festival, yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to always get, you know, the music you like. But that's why you have so many different stages. You can, you know, go, I've listened to you and I'm not into you. I'll go see you. So, yeah. But, looking forward to you lads coming over.
Yeah, can't wait.
And, you know, we'll end on hopefully a good note. back to Liverpool. Where do you see us in the next few months? Are you as hopeful as I am for top four?
Yeah, no, I think we're going to get top four. And I think even if you see a team like Chelsea win the Champions League a year or two ago, had no right to win it. Like, you never know what could happen. We could win the Champions League, whole season's different, you know? We could, even if we got a good run, got to like the semi-final of the Champions League, got top four, and then summer to like really gut the team and kind of, I'm hopeful. I'm not totally, you know, over it with Liverpool. I think there's still some good days this season to come.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, you can just go back to 2005. We had no right winning the Champions League with that team.
Exactly. Yeah.
And just people need to put a bit more faith into Klopp and the boys that can turn it around. Yeah, Real Madrid scared the living crap out of me, but I wish we were playing away first.
I know, yeah. Coming back to Anfield in the second leg is...
Yeah, get a draw over there and then bring it back home. But, you know, on any given night, if this, I know this team can play better than what they have been. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. The transfer window is not closed, everyone.
Yeah.
It's not closed, even though you think nothing's going to happen. You don't know. There's still two and a half weeks left, so we just
which is loads of time.
Yeah, exactly.
Something to happen.
Just as long as we don't do kind of what we did in the summer, and we bought Arthur Melo on the last day. That was definitely a panic buy. Well, not even a panic buy. We didn't buy him; just loaned him, and he's been croc. You know, for six
it's just
months.
A bad transfer. Yeah, it's just not a good decision. Is what it was,
but. You know, I'm with you, Kian. I think we'll make top four. I think you know, there's a lot to look forward to. Just you know, let's see in the next few weeks if we can get a run together, because this team can put 10 to 12 game a winning run quite easily.
Yeah.
So
even like I was thinking as well, like how far off are we from Arsenal now? It's like 16 points or something, is it?
15, I think.
15 points. I obviously don't think we're going to win the league at all. But we clawed back 14 points from City last season.
17,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, I'll say, so like, I love the people that go, you know, well, it technically wasn't 17 because we had two games in hand. But then I say, well, yes, we had to win those two games in hand.
Yeah.
So technically, we were 17 points behind. Yeah. For some known reason, my brain, or well, I think it's more my heart goes, I think we can still get second.
Yeah, the optimist in me would like to hope, and then the realist is like, it probably won't. But again, you never know. We shouldn't have beat Barcelona 4-0 in Anfield, but we did. So you have to just stay on the hopeful side of it, or else what's the point in watching it? You know?
I love your optimism, mate.
I'm not this optimistic about like general life, but just with Liverpool, I'm always optimistic about Liverpool.
Well, Kian, I really appreciate your time today, and please go and check out Modern Love. And if you're in living in the States or even visiting, go check your website.
If you go, it's all Modern Love Band on Instagram, on Facebook, on everything. Modern Love, one word, and then Band after.
Yeah. So if you go check that out, they've got their US tour date. So please go check them out. You know, enjoy life. Try not to get too down on the Reds, even though I wanted to throw my telly out the window the other day. And then I wouldn't have a telly. So I didn't throw it out. So I just got little upset for an hour or so. But there's more things to worry about than that.
It's only a game. It's only a game at the end of the day. And it's there to entertain you. And if it's good, it's good. And if it's not, you move on. You'd be all right, I'd say.
See, good parting words. Well, thanks. thanks again, Kian. And once again, everybody, thank you for joining us. Please like and subscribe and get your notifications going. I'll look forward to another story next time. I'll see you later.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.